And our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 15, beginning to read at verse 11. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me a share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, put on the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the elder son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The elder brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' This is the word of the Lord."
Well, good morning. Hands up if you were not here last week. Ooh, okay, quick recap. Very quick recap. So we've had the full reading of the story of the two sons, and last week we spent a bit of time really focusing on the younger son, and particularly on this amazing verse 17, this turning around point in the story where this younger son has run off with his inheritance, thinking he can do better than life with his father. And it all goes horribly wrong. And then we have this lovely turning verse where he says, "I will set out and go back to my father." Steve spoke quite a bit to us last week about this turning back and going home. The return of the son in the parable is the opportunity for the father to show forgiveness. And we used some pictures last time to show just an attempt to capture something of the emotion and the warmth and the love and compassion of this father as he receives his son, his returning son. So we began this series really with that very key sort of starting point for all of us in the Christian faith, that point of decision. Have we turned back to God from the things that we were pursuing and chosen to return to him? And like the son say, "I'm not worthy, but would you make me your child? Will you accept me back? Will you forgive me?" And the picture we have in this amazing parable is that the forgiveness is offered freely and warmly, and just as though the person had been waiting all the time. The father was waiting to lavish that forgiveness on the son. But we know, because we know our gospel stories, that that forgiveness for us comes at the price of the son of the God who gives it. That it's paid for in full. So it's not a light thing. It's not a casual forgiveness. It's not just thrown out there, well, have it, it's fine. The father doesn't run to the son and say, it's fine. He just welcomes him back because he sees that he's turned away. There's a turning to be done, and then this gift of forgiveness. So becoming a Christian, and we saw some of this last week, is a homecoming. It's coming home to God. It's being restored to relationship with God. It's a gift freely given. It's a gift of forgiveness that cost God his son. You know, that's the gospel message we have to share with anybody who's not yet come home. And people who are not home are not enjoying the relationship with their father that is offered to them. It's offered to everybody. There's a homecoming that was won by Jesus that is freely offered by the father. But this week we're going to focus a bit less on that son and a bit more on the forgiving father in the centre of this story. You notice in our story today, you've got these two poles, really. You've got the naughty wayward son, and then you've got the loyal, miserable son, really. And in the middle, you've got the father of both of them, the father of these two sons. So we're going to spend a bit of time this morning just looking a bit more at this forgiving father. And there's one of the pictures that we used last week, and there's another. I don't know which sort of image you like the best, what speaks the most to you. I've done a bit of reading in Steve's book after last week of that first picture, the Rembrandt, and it's an amazing picture, full of depth of his exploration, this old painter towards the end of his life, trying to capture this story that had moved his heart, because he saw something in this father figure, and that's what I want us to explore this morning. So this morning's theme, really, there's two parts to it. It's restoring our image of the Father as he truly is to us, the Father God that he wants to be to us, and then taking a step to understand a bit more about our place of belonging in his family. So a restored image of the Father and our place of belonging in his family. So I want you just to think for a moment. I wonder what you understand as the Father heart of God. I wonder what that phrase means to you. Before we came to Northampton, actually, there was a whole weekend conference planned on that theme, the Father Heart of God, because there was a sense of renewal in the church that wanted to reinvestigate what does it mean to approach God as Father? In what ways do you personally relate to God as your Father? Not as Lord, not as remote, not as the giver of the things that you need, but as Father. How do you relate to him? You know, I want to take a minute just to unpack the fact that the way we relate to God as Father is hugely influenced by our experience of Father, isn't it? And I don't want to do any disservice to those among us for whom that is a very, very challenging story. Maybe you had a completely absent father. Maybe a very seriously poor image of fathering in your life. But whatever our experience of fathers, it affects how we relate to God and how we see him. It has an impact on how we hear that word Father in relation to God. It makes a difference to how we approach him. We may not even be aware that it's there until it begins to be exposed and we see it. So I just wanted to just draw your attention to this little picture. This is a picture from Mercy UK. We saw this on Sunday night. It's a picture of a tree. Now, you won't be able to read the tiny print on there, and actually I can't read it from here either, but just really simply, I've labelled it to show you why I'm just asking you about your earthly father. You see, this tree tells us that a lot of the things that we do, the way that we behave, and I'm including in that the normal way that we approach God, they're kind of the fruit, they're our behaviours. Some of those behaviours will be unhealthy. We might have a temper, we might relate in a particularly withdrawn way. There are all sorts of things in the way that we behave. And those behaviours are supported by a trunk, and that trunk is the beliefs. Not only beliefs of truth in the gospel, for example, our faith beliefs, but things that we believe, perhaps about ourselves, or perhaps about the way the world works. Perhaps what you believed as a child was that you were born into the kind of household that was never going to do much. You were never going to make it in life. My dad was the son of a miner in a mining community, and nobody ever left the village. So his belief could well have been, this is it for me. Actually, that was challenged because somebody gave him a scholarship to a grammar school, and he had a different path in the end. But there's lots of... Do you want to just hold that for a minute, Neil? There's lots of pictures of how those things affect us. And then if you come down to the bottom here, you've got past experiences. Those things that happen in our lives, happen to us, happen around us. They all affect how we relate to God. They all affect how we behave. And in the mercy model, I just share this with you because it may be helpful to you. In the mercy model of healing, one of the things they encourage you to do is you say, well, I'm behaving like this. I don't trust God as my father. So they say, well, what's the root of that? What can you trace that back to you? Well, actually, I don't believe I've trusted anybody. Well, why is that? Well, because I was really let down when I was a teenager and my parents divorced, for example. So it's quite a simple process, and guided by the Holy Spirit, he may put his finger on some clear thing for you today in that picture. So we're going to park that for a moment. I just want to unpack this with three really simple examples. So no drama, just simple examples. So example number one, supposing my father was hard to please. So I'll see God through that belief, that he's somebody who's hard to believe, to please, that he needs me to try harder. So if you watch my Christian life, it'll be full of times I've tried really hard to do the right thing. An effort, working harder, might be a hallmark of my Christian life. What if my father was angry? There was a very short fuse in the house I grew up in. I learned that if I did something wrong, there was real anger expressed towards me. Maybe a bit of a level of fear. But if I'm fearful of God, I'm very unlikely to easily tell him when I've done the wrong thing, aren't I? It's a very unlikely thing because I'm going to be fearful of what he's going to do. So I may just not find it easy to confess. I may not want to say that I'm in the wrong because the feeling that evokes is a fear. What if my father was just cool and undemonstrative? He was just a bit of a cold character in my life. Actually, the normal way to be a father earlier in the last century, the way that fathers were told to be to some extent. I may have learnt a certain resilience. I may have become very independent, very self-reliant. I may manage to do without affection or warmth. I may be somebody who finds it much easier to relate to God as Lord. I get Lord. I understand, Lord, the one who is in control, the one who created the heaven and the earth. I can do that. I'm not so sure about this warm, affectionate, loving Father. So we may not have realized how much this affects our picture of God. But if we are to be restored, we need to respond to the invitation to come to God as the Father he reveals himself to be. So I just want us to pause. I will show you a picture of my dad. This is my dad. There are probably three pictures of my dad from a whole decade before he died. He hated photographs. He wouldn't be in them. He wouldn't have parties or celebrations. He didn't like any of that. He was actually your classic undemonstrative father, really. He was forced into that photo. I think Steve managed to take it. And it's one of, I think, only two or three pictures I have of him of recent years. He died 10 years ago. He was a good dad, especially in regarding faith. The thing that mattered most to my dad was that his family came to know Jesus, and he did that with everything he had in him. But I did find him quite hard to please. I found it quite hard to know what would press the button in him that would make him be really nice to me. And I worked really hard at that. And as a teenager, I learned that academic success was the one thing that could evoke a really warm response from my dad. And actually cash, turns out. It was the one thing that extracted money from him as a kind of reward. I rather stunned him with my GCSE results, and his response was to pull a wallet out of his pocket. I'd never, ever seen my dad do that before. So I learned a pattern of trying really hard to please, which actually has affected my approach to ministry, my life as a Christian for many years. So I wonder if that relates to you. So if you like that, then whatever role you have, you'll never quite feel you've done it right. It may be that you've held back from offering to serve in the church because you think, you know, I'm not quite sure I'm good enough. Could the root of that be a kind of unhealthy root of trying to please? So just pause for a moment, just take that on board before we move on. What is the image of the Father God in you that perhaps has been influenced by your experience of your own father? Let's just take a moment to think about that. So when we come to a ministry, it may well be that there's something there that you just want to offer to God and say, do you know, I'd never really thought about this, but I see that this happened to me. And just simply say, Holy Spirit, would you just come and heal this part of my story? I've known God actually rub out, and I say that because that's what it felt like, literally rub out a piece of my past experience. He just rolled it up and took it away. That's exactly what it felt like. That's not to say the patterns and the behaviours, as you saw in that tree picture, weren't a little bit established by then, but you know, God can do amazing things in us. So I just want to move on and just ask a question now about religion and expectation, effectively a kind of faith question. In John 14, Philip says to Jesus, show us the Father. There's a question, so what is God like? Show us the Father. You've seen God. You talk about God all the time. What is the Father like? We ask the question, who is God? Show us the Father, because we want to know how to please him, what he expects of us, what he's like. The Pharisees in the time of this parable, they were checking in because they wanted to know, have we got this right? Because we've been keeping all these rules and telling people off when they haven't kept all the rules. We want to know that God approves that. Jesus telling this parable would have been a real shock to them, of this Father who seems to graciously forgive. How can that make sense? The disciples had seen Jesus at work. They'd seen what he was like. And you may be like the disciples. You get Jesus. You understand Jesus. You've seen him and his kindness and his compassion. Maybe you've never been quite so sure about God. But there's this big question, isn't there? Show us the Father. Well, you know, the only answer to that question is to find truth. What is the truth about the Father? Not what do I feel, not what has my experience taught me about the Father based on all sorts of things that might have influenced that, but what is the truth about it? If I think God is too holy to please, if I think he's a judge, if I think maybe he's angry, if I think he's remote and cool and distant, I'm going to struggle to relate to him. And Jesus tells this story of all the things he could have done to say, well, here's my Father. Look at what he's like. He's like this forgiving Father. The religious life of even the most devoted Christian can miss out, like the prodigal son's brother, on being invited into the fullness of this relationship by trying to do the right thing. Here's this kind of verse that sums up the nature of God. While he was still a long way off, the Father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He threw his arms around him and kissed him. We had to celebrate and be glad. This brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. This is a picture of our Heavenly Father, full of compassion and love, celebration. Maybe you don't think of God celebrating. For the lost son and for me, not angry, not demanding and not cold, but full of compassion. A relationship with him is what a perfect father would be. And in fact, if you're a dad and you're feeling a little bit guilty this morning, you're thinking, gosh, I'm not sure I'm measuring up to this. It's okay, because we can't. We can't. None of us can. Actually, Steve and I are having this tremendous fun at the moment, parenting our grandchildren. We've practiced on our children. We've made all our mistakes. And now we've got grandchildren to kind of get it right with. And the great thing is that you can be incredibly generous to them, because you don't have to fix anything in their lives. And it's a huge opportunity to just celebrate just that lovely, lovely parenting. And we love it. So I'm going to offer us three verses of truth now. And I just want you to pick one that speaks to you the most. We're just going to do them one at a time to tackle these particular challenges to our vision of God. And just sit with those for a moment. And then I'm just going to move on to part two. And then we'll have some ministry. So the first one, what if the message that you've received is that God is insensitive and uncaring? Is that something of how you fear approaching him? So this first promise is for you. If it wakes up, there we go. Thank you. So this is a promise. It's truth. So you can speak this over your life and ask the Holy Spirit to make it real to you. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in love. Maybe that's the truth for you today. What if you think that God's somehow passive, that you have to do tremendous things to move him? If you're that person and you will pray very long prayers, pleading with God to hear you, because you'd think you need to persuade him, somehow to argue him into being concerned for you. Here's a verse for you. He tends his flock like a shepherd. I loved this verse when I was a parent, actually, and I was exhausted all the time. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. What an amazing view of God that is. What if you think God is stern and demanding and you are just always failing to please him? It feels like you're just not sure you've ever got it right. Well, here's a shockingly good verse for you. The Lord will take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. What an amazing verse. So here are verses that challenge our view of God as Father. Do you recognise these pictures? Are they pictures that bless your heart, that feed your soul? Sadly, we see in the picture of the story we've had that the older son just couldn't go there. His whole life was governed by duty and service. And he'd lost any sense of warmth for his father. He didn't love his father. And he didn't know how to receive the love his father offered him. And so you see this sad sense of him outside the party, outside the kind of experience, really. Do you think if he'd turned and walked in through the door, the father would have embraced him? Of course he would. So don't stay outside. Ask him to heal whatever it is in your vision of his father nature and turn around and allow him to minister that to you. And then much, much more quickly, you know, the father invites the son in, and there's just one picture for this, I think. He invites him in and he welcomes him home. You've got this little cartoon character sporting the things that the father gives as gifts to this son. I'm just going to quickly just cover them because they say something about what the father's heart is for us and where we stand today. You see, we belong in his family. We're welcomed in and given gifts. What does the father give this son? He says, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. These are the symbols of the father restoring the son to this position of authority in the house, of belonging in the family. The complete status of a son being restored. That's what God offers us. It's complete restoration. It's not begrudging. The robe would have been the father's own robe, the best robe in the house. The father's taken his and said, here, son, have this. Have the best I've got. There's a lovely verse in Isaiah about exchanging sadness and despair for a garment of praise. He's putting it on us. He doesn't want us to be despairing. He wants us to wear this robe of praise. Then he gives him a ring. You're in the family. You've got my authority again. You can stamp my letters. You can make orders in my name. Friends, we have that authority in Jesus. If we're in the house, we have his authority. When we pray for one another later this morning, we're doing it in the authority that he gives us because we have the full status as his children. We have that ring. And the sandals, he gave him sandals. Only sandals were worn by the owners of the house, the family, the sons, not by slaves. The son is being shown here. You haven't crawled in. You're not approaching the father constantly as the miserable, unworthy to be your son. I'll just be your servant. God is saying in this to us, you're fully my child. Don't come to me constantly saying, I am unworthy, because we are. Come accepting this free gift that I'm given. Jesus said in John 15, we are no longer servants, but friends. And now he's telling us that we're in the family. I love what Jesus goes on to say in John 16. He says, you know, my father will give you whatever you ask in my name. He's elevating the disciples from looking at him, the Jesus that they get and they know, saying, you know, God himself, he cares about you. You can ask him yourself about the things that matter to you. God is inviting us into a spirit of sonship. I think there actually is another verse on that, Romans 8 verse. The spirit we have received from him does not make us slaves, so that we live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Now, Rachel and I have talked about this before. We like the word son in there. We like the fact that it says son, because a son in the time of this passage had all the status. But if you prefer to read that as child, because that's helpful to you, that's fine. It's the same thing. It just means the full restoration of status. We need to be restored back to a place of just knowing that we are fully in the Father's house, that we have access to everything that he's given us. We need to speak truth to those areas of our life that are rooted in things that are not true and challenge them as the Spirit leads us. And we need to step in from the cold, from outside, from a place of duty into the joyful acceptance as one of his kids, living out the ministry he shares with us, sharing in the gifts that he gives to us, and knowing his pleasure and delight over us. So there's a bit to think about, isn't there? We're going to sing a song in a moment that will minister into that. Perhaps the band would just pause for a moment just so that you can do your own reflecting and then come on out. So just let's just take a moment. We're going to have to move into communion quite quickly. So I just want to encourage you just to go to the Lord now, and I'm going to pray for us, and I'm going to ask him, is there a particular root or a particular truth or a particular invitation to step into the house that is for you, that has your name on it this morning? So let's just ask. Father God, I pray now that you just come by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you would bring your Spirit of truth into our hearts, that you would begin to minister to us as a body of your people, healed, restored, forgiven, fully invited into the Father's house, fully invited to take up the authority that you give us. Lord, would you come and minister to your people now? We come to you as our good, forgiving Father, and we pray that you would set us free. Amen.